Rossdale Homes, with over 30 years of building experience. Rossdalehomes.com.au.
Hey, Roo, I've always been, I guess you'd say, a climate change skeptic, you know. It's all a bit too clever for me. When all the scientists bang on about what's going to happen, I sort of just move on.
You don't want to believe it because you don't want to believe how bad it could potentially be.
I'm very interested.
Was it?
They're saying there's going to be a world shortage of beer.
A world shortage of beer.
As a result of climate change, they're saying our barley crops are taking a hammering and will take a hammering in the years to come, which means a shortage of barley. Well, you're going to pay a fortune for beer.
Well, if we get our Triple M farmer on, we know that the farmers will have a bit of a whinge. There's not too many farmers out there that are going to get a crop this year, Dits.
And well, he grows barley, so it means his prices will go up.
If they've got a crop, they'll do all right, but if they haven't, they'll get nothing, and that's most of the state. So
as a publican, are you hearing anything about this or not?
Not at this stage, but I'm sure we will when the bills come around or when there's no beer.
Might have to start stockpiling.
So a shortage of beer, is this worldwide or just Australia?
No, worldwide.
Gee whiz.
The prices are going to go through the roof.
God, there'll be some blueing going on. The wives will be happy anyway. Won't have to go to the pub.
Nah.
So climate change.
Yeah.
Speaking of giving up the booze, what's Harry done?
Well, this is the ultimate sacrifice. Seriously, if you had doubts about Harry before, to all the ladies listening,
There's no more popular bloke in the world.
Well, exactly. When he hugged that 98-year-old ex-digger's wife yesterday, everyone went, oh. What I saw Jess fella. Adamson from Channel 7 say, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. So what he's done now, he is the absolute darling of everyone out there. So he's gone off the booze for Megan.
Well, for the while
she's pregnant. The ultimate sacrifice. Yeah, he hasn't had a drink for 3 months, and you know he loves a drink.
Yeah, but you know what? He might just say that for the public.
Mm.
And behind closed doors, he could just get on it because you don't see what's happening.
You reckon he's a closet drinker?
Well, you never know. I mean, that's a long time to give up the booze.
It is.
Do you know? I mean, did you ever do that?
Well, funnily enough, I can draw an analogy. My wife's gone off the booze for 3 months, and she asked me.
And?
I said, well, let me have a sab long and think about it. I said, for God's sake, go off the booze for 3 months.
Well, for 10 months.
Hey? God.
Nah, that's a big sacrifice. It's hard to be doing that. And I just don't know whether it works or does that just bring more tension or, it's a tough one. It sounds good.
Did Sarah ever ask you to, you know, for the sake of our marriage or just as a good exercise, not for the sake of your marriage, but, you know, just as an exercise, Mark, would you give up, you know, something for me? Or
no, she kept drinking through the prison.
Oh, bloody hell. What hope have your kids got?
No, you're allowed to have a glass a day. That doesn't hurt, or even two if it's been a long day. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, we got the metrosexuals coming up later on this morning. I'm just wondering if, you know, their girlfriends.
Do?
I don't know, but if their partners have, you know, said to them, you know, would you go vegan for me? Or would you, you know, so anything like that? Because you hear those sorts of stories.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not sure on about going vegan, Dits, but more people are these days.
But anyway, Harry's put all of us blokes under the pump because every wife in Australia right now is saying, oh, would you do that for me?
I think most blokes wouldn't, unfortunately.
Yeah, I can hear the silence out there from the fellas now.
Yeah.
Hey, this power thing that we mentioned briefly, Roo, if this isn't confusing, I don't know what is. So,
well, it is confusing.
I've sat here as the idiot little miniature economist that I try to be in my own little household. I've always argued against privatisation. It's the old story about don't sell the farm. I've said to you many, many times, I think you should own utilities, whether it's water, electricity, gas, whatever it is, I think we should own it. When I say we, the government should own it.
Yep, I think a lot of people agree with that.
In South Australia, we sold everything off. And I could be totally wrong here, but it's one of the reasons
we did have to, though, because we were broke, weren't we?
Well, you say we had to. Back. I still wonder if there were just other ways of doing it. I don't know, but maybe there weren't. And maybe that's where I'm naive and stupid here. But we've sold it off. And now, as you know, we pay they reckon we pay the most in the world in South Australia, in the world, not in Australia. Our prices are the most expensive because you can have an individual Chinese businessman come along and own it and charge what the hell he wants, basically. That's how I see it. Now, under the Labor government, the previous government in South Australia, we bought these diesel turbines, generators. Which we haven't used as backup. Now, we haven't used them. And now Vicky Chapman is coming out and saying, we need to privatise these. We need to sell them. I will say from the outset, I know nothing about this, except as soon as I hear her say privatise, I shudder and I worry because is that another cost that's going to be passed on to all of us as well? Why privatise these things that the previous government bought?
We probably need to get that explained to us so we make a good decision on it. But over $600 million they're talking for things that we might not even use. We're a 1 in 10 chance of using them this year. They're sitting down at a good place, actually, where the desal plant is. Because that's another white elephant down there as well. So a very non-productive site down there, that one, if we have $600 million worth of diesel generators and a $2 billion desal plant that we haven't turned on in 10 years. So we'll get someone to explain that perhaps later on.
All sounds a bit expensive, doesn't it?
Oh, it is.
The stuff we're not using.
Bloody very expensive.
Yeah. All right, Ruined It's here on Triple M. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, one of the scariest blokes in the world. He's on his way back. We love seeing him. We love seeing him when he's in Adelaide.
He rises again. His name's Chopper, and he's got a new show out called Chopper Rises Again in Bogan Jesus. Good morning, Chopper.
Yes, g'day. How's it going?
I didn't think you'd be back.
No, of course I'll be back. I love Adelaide. You can't get rid of me.
Well, you decided to start your own religion.
Yeah, that's right. Have you ever been stuck behind someone who's trying to open a door and they're not doing it right? And you're like, get out of the way, give me a go.
Yeah,
it's like that, but with religion. You know, you're looking at everyone else messing it up and you go, look, clearly you're getting close, but let's get it done.
I reckon you might have a few takers there, in fact, Chopper. Hey, by the way, religion, we're talking about politics as well. What do you think of the new Prime Minister, Scott Morrison?
Oh, you know, he's just one of the bloody revolving door of these beige idiots we've had coming off the conveyor belt. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm at the point now with Prime Ministers where they're like characters in Game of Thrones, you know? You don't even learn their names until they've been around for a few seasons.
They do come and go, don't they? Yeah.
Oh, exactly. It's the same reason a farmer doesn't name his pigs. They're not going to be around long enough.
No, good point.
Now, what do you like about this time of year? I've got to say, Melbourne Cup's not far away. Roo and I get into the races. What do you like about this time of the year?
Oh, I like a bit of Melbourne Cup. I like a bit of Halloween as well. But most of all, I just love freaking out about Christmas. In October, you know what I mean? There's only 2.5 months to go. We've got to panic. So I'll be, crushing toddlers with shopping trolleys to get to the bargains, you know what I mean? Pushing old ladies out of the way if I see a turkey I like. Because, it's one day a year, but we should spend a quarter of our lives getting ready for it.
You'd have a lot of people wanting to give you Christmas presents too, Chopper, I would have thought.
Oh, yeah, they need to be reminded.
Can you explain? Ditz, help me out with this one.
Foucault's Panopticon. What is that?
Oh, Foucault's Panopticon. It's basically a kind of a hypothetical experiment that shows people under the effects of a supposed surveillance behaviours if people are actually being surveilled. So it's just a neat little thing. It's the same philosophy as why sometimes there's cameras in the speed cameras, and sometimes it's just an empty box.
Right.
It's a very interesting question to bring up.
Well, it is, Chopper. I just...
You can't really catch me out.
No, well, I just saw that the other day, and I thought you might know about it, given that you've probably been,
Under surveillance
here and there.
It's, the old donut-shaped prison with a central guards tower, one-way windows. I don't mean to tell you this stuff, do I?
No, you don't, but hopefully you're not under surveillance at the Arca Bar Hotel in Adelaide on Thursday, the 15th of November. A great venue for a place to go and catch up with Chopper as he rises again in his Bogan Jesus resurrection tour.
Thanks for joining us, Chopper.
Hey, no worries. And I'm also pretty excited. I'm going to be spending more time in Adelaide next year.
Right.
I've been put in charge of the Crows team camp for pre-season.
Oh,
take it to another level.
Good work, Chop. We'll look forward to that.
What a goal!
Ruined It's Overnight Sports.
Amy Caulfield Cup at Morphettville is Ladies' Day. Join the party trackside this Saturday, October 20. Entry is just $15.
Please tell me it's the last day of AFL trading. Please.
Well, you better hurry up and get your deal done to get rid of Chad Wingard after you've kicked him out.
I want to get rid of him.
He said he was heartbroken yesterday if you read the articles. What are you doing down there?
We're tough.
You make
hard decisions.
Well, good luck.
Because tough love never hurt.
Hopefully you've got Ryan Burton coming in and another draft pick. So could be very well placed with draft picks and players. It's Dane Beams, Lachie Neal, Jesse Hogan, Stephen May, Dylan Shew, a host of players that have got to get done today. By the 8 p.m. deadline, we're going to have a chat to Tom Brown from Triple M later on to find out if there's going to be any hiccups in getting all those deals done. And it just makes you wonder, though, Dits, if it was a four-day period or a five-day period, would we be at the same situation anyway? Surely they just wait the last day to get it done anyway. So speed it up a little bit. The Crows got Tyson Stengel back from Richmond yesterday to give a bit more pace and goal-kicking skills up in the forward line. So they're happy with that. Tom Scully got to Hawthorn yesterday. This is a bit of a funny deal, that one, for pick 50-odd. He's a gun player. They've said his ankle's banged up, but somehow he got a four-year deal, so not sure how bad that ankle really is. We'll wait and find out over the next couple of years, I guess.
All right, let's move on to the cricket, shall we? Day one of the second test year, we were on fire. We took 4 for none at one stage and had Pakistan 5 for 57.
4 for none?
Yeah, at one stage. Nathan Lyon was on fire. He ended up with 4 wickets.
He did 4 and 6 balls, was it?
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. Pakistan, all out for 282. Now, Roo, I'm always critical of night watchmen. We put in Peter Siddle, and he's out for 4. So we're 2 for 20. I reckon when you're a test batsman, a world-class batsman, surely that's your job. That's your role. Mm. And if you're sitting there and they go, oh, there's only 3 or 4 overs to go, let's put a night watchman in, surely you are the most qualified bloke to go out there in that situation.
It's a pretty old-school theory or idea, isn't it?
Well,
really?
It's hiding, isn't it? It's sort of saying,
hiding,
oh, I don't wanna,
protecting.
I don't want to go out there.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting one. It's a good discussion, that one. Because does it put the put you under more pressure being extra wickets?
Well, and then it really backfires when the night watchman gets out, doesn't it?
And then he goes, well, we're sending in another night watchman.
That's right.
We're actually going to send in the bloke who can bat.
Yeah. Now, 5-hour rain delay in Adelaide yesterday, of course, but in the end, the game got underway. New South Wales 3 for 124. We put them into bat, would you believe? It doesn't happen too often, does it?
Well, a bit of rain around, obviously.
Righto. NBA season's about to get underway, a doubleheader. Ben Simmons, the Aussie, his 76ers taking on Boston this morning, our time.
Ruin Dits for breakfast.
I've heard it on the radio.
I only have time for one breakfast show. The Prime Minister.
So you had to open your mouth and articulate.
Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
Well, I can't say the number one man in the country anymore. I used to say that, but he's still very important to us. Big Mal, good morning.
Good morning to you, Dits, and hello to you, Roo, and hello to everybody listening in Adelaide to Triple M. I was back on the show last week, and I thought, I miss it. I enjoy being part of the Triple M network, so I'm back on board today to have a chat to you.
How do you like to be thought of now? I don't know, someone that contributed a fair bit. I mean, I can't, as I say, I can't say number one man in the nation.
Well, no, I'm not the number one man in the nation anymore, but, you know, I was always a hobby Prime Minister, so I had a turn at it. It was fun, and it's time to get off and give somebody else a ride. Now, you do know that ScoMo is a man that pooped his own dacks in the Engadine McDonald's in 1997 after the Sharks lost the Super League Grand Final. You do know that.
No,
that
can't happen.
That is an absolute solid gold fact. So that's who you got leading the country. Good luck.
Good to see you looking after the next Prime Minister. Hey, how are you feeling about the announcement of the royal baby and, you know, the royal couple while they're in Sydney at the moment?
I'm of course, a Republican, Roo, but I've always been quite fond of Harry and Meghan. Lucy and I got to meet them on their engagement. Do you remember when Lucy was wearing that fetching red pants here?
Yeah, she looked hot. Mm.
Yeah, she does. She's hot. And I'm always excited about the prospect of a child. I remember when Lucy was pregnant with Daisy and Alex. We'd go to the prenatal or the antenatal classes, and everyone watched that video of the birth, that French bird pushing her child out into the world. Not big on the waxing the French. Do you remember that? We all had to sit there and watch that video. Maybe they should cut a new one. Maybe cut live to Meghan Markle having her baby. It'd be a ratings bonanza, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. They're certainly popular. You've got to give them that. Hey, let's move on. Because
a French bird from the 70s.
Yeah. This weekend, the Wentworth by-election, your turf, your territory. It's on this weekend. Now, gee, your son got involved as well. What do you think about the Wentworth by-election?
Well, I've obviously slung Alex a couple of mil to get behind the Labor candidate there, but still giving lip service to voting Liberal. Listen, I hope it's a bloodbath for the Liberal Party, to tell you the truth.
Come on.
I'd like to see Karen Phelps win. I like her politics, but because I'm a big Phelpsy fan. You know, who doesn't love Peter Phelps in Stingers? Do you know they are brother and
Peter
sister?
Peter Phelps.
Don't you remember Phelpsy?
No.
Australian actor. Sons and Daughters.
Yes.
It was in Lantana. He's a great guy, Phelpsy. Yeah. But also, do you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see the Wentworth by-election actually emulate the prison drama Wentworth. I'd like to see all the candidates wearing those kind of turquoise blue tracksuits and have to shiv one another. And it's the last person standing. Maybe have one of those steam presses too, so you can burn the hands of your opponent. You lagging bitch. You know, that kind of
thing. Bring back B. Smith.
That's right. The Freak. I'd like to see the Freak win the Wentworth by-election.
I think it might happen anyway.
What else have you been up to this week, big man? You been busy or not?
I'm in New York City. As you know, I like to ride my bike around when I'm not in my $4 million apartment overlooking Central Park. And I've taken the kayak out onto the East River, but there's always a cadaver or some human remains floating down that river, you know, with concrete shoes on. So it's quite risky. But no, I've just been enjoying myself. I went to a Bikram hot yoga session, got into a bit of downward dog. I tell you what, if you go to one of those, get at the front of the class. Yeah.
Woo-hoo. You can't look at anything at the front of the class, can you?
At a Bikram yoga, you don't want to look at anything. It's all a bit crazy, I'll tell you that. Now, before I go, I just want to say the Triple M rocks Adelaide. Good on you. You're great constituents and great guys.
Good on you, big mouth. Thanks for talking to us. Thanks for finding time in your busy holiday period over there in New York.
Fine, I'm going to ride my bike.
Okay.
See you, big man.
Hey, Roo, I always feel for people when I hear that they're suffering from a migraine. You know, I've got a couple of friends who really suffer badly, and they can last for a couple of days. And there's a big stat that's been released today about this,
isn't it? Well, they're saying it costs the Australian economy $35 billion a year. It's a massive amount of money. Apparently, women affected more than men. 71% of women get the migraines. In the age group of sort of 20 to 30s, a lot of them get it as well. So, a lot of sick days, a lot of health issues with it. So we just wanted to get Dr. Lane on to see if this was all accurate or not and what can be done about it. Is there some new research into how it can be prevented?
All right, let's get our resident quack on. Dr. Lane, good morning. First of all, what is a migraine?
Well, a migraine is a very, very painful headache, and it can be associated with a few other things as well. So the classic migraine is typically this throbbing headache that occurs on one side of the head, often behind the eye.
Like that on Sunday, Dr. Lane.
Yeah, exactly.
I have it most Sundays,
Yeah, exactly. Now, they're bloody awful. I get them, actually, and I've had them since I was a teenager, and they're really debilitating because, I mean, a typical headache, you know, you can get it and you can almost push through. But when you get a migraine, they hit you like a ton of bricks and you're out. Because they often affect your sight, they affect your sensitivity to light, and you just feel really sick with them.
Why can't we, with all the brains that we've got these days and the technology, why can't we come up with a drug or an adjustment in the, you know, in the head or the spine or something to get rid of them?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. We do have treatments, and the treatments are essentially aimed at two things. One is to reduce the pain and the symptoms when you get a migraine, and the other is to try to prevent them if you get them more frequently. But the problem with them is, I think it's fair to say, we don't exactly know the full cause of them. I mean, we're aware of how people get migraines, sometimes triggers that affect them. But there are other factors that we're not completely aware of. So it makes it difficult to cure them, as essentially we don't have a cure for them.
Is it true as well, a lot of people will end up vomiting and having other symptoms as well? It's not just the actual pain in the head, is it?
Yeah, correct. That's exactly right. So now, when I first was getting migraines as a teenager, I remember them because it took a while for them to be diagnosed at that time. I didn't really know what they were. My first symptoms I used to get where I was just losing my vision. And then shortly after that, I would just get this throbbing pain behind my eyes. And for about 4 hours, I would just feel like I was going to be sick. And I couldn't bear to be in the light. So I'd sort of be in a dark room. And that's pretty typical sort of way that people get migraines. But luckily for me, I'd be lucky to get one a year or so now, but for some people, they get them every week, you know, two or three. So it can be really, really life-changing.
What have you found? Sorry, Roo. Is the best thing to do? Is there a common, I'm not saying a cure, but is there something that seems to ease the symptoms and ease the pain for people that we know of?
Yeah, look, there is treatment. And for people who suffer with migraines, if they haven't already, they really should go and speak to their GP, because we try to tailor the treatment depending on how severe the migraines are, how frequent they are. So, for example, one of the first things we try to teach people is the minute you feel yourself getting a migraine, and bearing in mind that a lot of people will get a bit of a warning, like they will lose their vision or so, you need to take something for it. So the treatments might be as simple as taking some Panadol and Nurofen, or they might be another medication that we can prescribe that can actually help subdue the symptoms pretty quickly. But if you don't actually take something relatively quickly, then normally you're going to have to just write it out, and it can go for hours, or for some people even a couple of days.
Yeah, we have heard that. Dr. Lane, thanks so much for joining us. And Roo, again, I feel for people that suffer with migraines, because everyone says the same thing, that they are just horrible. They're awful.
No, nothing good about them, and hopefully we can find a cure for them sometime in the near future as well.
7:26, Roo and it's here on Triple M. 17 degrees in Adelaide today, Roo. Finally, we've got to the last day of trade period. My God.
It's going to be the busiest day of the trade period. There's so many big names and big clubs with deals still to be done, and that's why we've wheeled in the expert Tom Brown to join us. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Roo. Good morning, Dits.
Huge day ahead. Let's start with Port Adelaide, because Dits is a mad Port Adelaide fan. And
and I'm very mad.
And he's very mad. He's not happy that Chad Wingard is getting traded out, but he's pretty happy that Ryan Burton may be coming in. This deal will be done today, we're led to believe.
It'll get done today. Burton, I think, has cleared that medical over in Las Vegas, and the deal will get done. Hawthorn moved on the Scully deal yesterday, which was, I think, partly delayed just because Hawthorn were trying to work out with the Giants how much money they'd pay of Scully's wage. But I think that there'll be no problems with this Wingard and Burton situation today. They've just been obviously sort of negotiating.
Should I be concerned that a bloke we're picking up's in Las Vegas? I mean, has he got a gambling problem?
There's been a few other players.
Are there any issues that I need to know
a
about?
A few other players have had medicals in Las Vegas before.
I think he's pretty straight, Burton. He had no idea he was going to be traded before he went there. He's just there on a leisurely holiday, Dits.
Bought a $1.3 million house in Melbourne not long ago. He's pretty keen to stay over there, but he's going to be a good get for Port Adelaide.
Is there a calling off period? Or not?
Don't know about that, but Wingard will move on. Hey, what about all the other deals? Because we've got Lachie Neale from Freo to go to Brisbane. Dane Beams wants to go to Collingwood. Jesse Hogan to Freo. Lobb to Freo. May from Gold Coast to anyone in Melbourne, he said yesterday. Now, that's probably the biggest story. He was always spoke about Collingwood, but more so Melbourne. But yesterday he's come out and said, just get me to any decent club in Melbourne.
Stephen May was originally really keen on Collingwood. I think he's wanted to go there all year and probably still does. Like, if he spent an extra year at the Gold Coast, who I don't think want to keep him anymore.
They want to get rid of him.
They
now,
want to just clear, Stewart G wants to clear the decks and get everyone on board. That's 111% start again. But just on this super deal, May is now open, as you mentioned, Roo, to offers from any Victorian club. I don't think he's willing to punt on this super deal that we should get through today. And when we talk about the super deal, it's the exact one you just mentioned. Beams to Collingwood, May to Melbourne, Neale to Brisbane, Hogan to Fremantle, Lobb to Fremantle. So May's obviously probably going to end up at Melbourne, you'd think. But it requires a lot of if, buts, and maybes in this massive deal to get through. And the critical thing in all that today is Fremantle. They didn't go for Hogan in that pretty controversial statement from Peter Bell on Friday. And Ross Lyon wants to keep Neale. So we're about to find out if they're bluffing this morning.
Wow, what about Dylan Shuey? He nominated Essendon, but nothing's happened there either. Will that deal get done?
That was an absolute coup for the Bombers to get Shield to nominate Essendon. There's absolutely no way they'll let that deal slip. But just on the Giants, their messaging's a bit mixed, isn't it? They say, well, we've got salary cap problems, but at the same time, we're happy to keep Shield and we're happy to keep Scully.
Yeah,
well, they're always going to move on Scully, and they'll move on Shield as well. And Shield can't go back there having basically left the club. That's not going to happen. So that deal will be done.
Can I ask both of you about the future of the Gold Coast Suns? I mean, a friend of mine, Josh Franco, has just announced he's going there, and I wish him all the best. But this is a basket case. I heard Paul Roos say, and Matthew Lloyd as well this week, two real, very respected people in the game, saying this is the worst team since the days of Fitzroy.
I mean, it will be next year in 2019, he's saying.
Yeah, but also the AFL has thrown that much money at them. What else do they need to throw at them? I mean, do we close the doors on the Gold Coast Sun and start again? Do we move them somewhere else? What happens?
It's good in theory, but given the fact that the TV deal is underpinned by having that extra game, there's no way the AFL will renege on their Gold Coast strategy. The only thing they can do is keep throwing money at it and keep doing what they're doing, which is to get a good coach in due and to get blokes that actually want to go there. And I think that the AFL need to get rid of this myth that the Gold Coast is a bad place to live or work. As far as I know, it's a pretty good place.
Great place.
There's a bit of a myth in footy at the moment.
No sporting teams ever worked there.
I agree with that. But a lot of young footballers at the moment want to play for the big clubs. We've seen that with Shield. Mm. We've seen it with Lynch. So the Gold Coast have to somehow culturally, Roo, become a club of choice for players, which is going to take a long time.
They need good administration, good coaches, the right people in the right positions. And I believe in Stewie Jew, and I think Josh Franco will be a good pickup for them. They got Mark Evans up there. So I think they can go right if they get it right. The funny thing about this whole thing, Ditz, they've got a salary cap issue.
Well,
it just shows they've been overpaying to keep
this
guys
is ridiculous.
Up there.
And this is with Tom Lynch leaving.
There's no short-term fix.
How
it's going to take a long
sense.
Time.
With Tom Lynch leaving, they still have a salary cap issue. That is just craziness.
They've been paying overs for a long time, quite clearly, to keep I shouldn't use the word no names, but guys that aren't recognised on big money. There'd be blokes there on 400 and 500 that we've frankly hardly ever heard of.
Oh, that'd be a good problem to have, wouldn't it? Anyway, it's going to be a great day. Hopefully all these deals can get done. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Good on you, Tom Brown. You see him on Channel 7 and you hear him here on Triple M. Roo, you know the Royals are in Australia and Prince Harry, well, he's made it hard for the rest of us.
No, has he
what
ever?
He's done. He's the darling all of a sudden. You know, she's preggers. They're going to have a new little baby and he hugged the 98-year-old yesterday and all the women are going, isn't he lovely? And well, you know what he's done now? He's given up the grog for Megan. He's been off the grog. He's been on the square for 3 months.
He's actually been off it already.
He's already done it.
I thought he was just going to say, I'll get off it now for the rest of the pregnancy. Mm. So the whole time, that is a massive sacrifice and commitment.
So is she the wife from hell? Has she put her foot down and said
that, or he's the perfect hubby?
God.
Gee, that's a big commitment, isn't it?
I need to have a word to him, seriously, because it makes it hard for the rest
Has
of us.
Has your wife ever asked you to get off the booze?
Yes. Pretty short conversation.
How often does she do that?
A couple of times. But Kate's off the grog right now. She's doing this three-month thing and had a serious conversation with me when she started.
How far into it is she?
No, she's about 2.5 months in.
Wow.
Hasn't broken. No, she's done well. But looked at me.
Have you seen her?
Yeah, she said, I've got this idea. I said, well, how does this involve me? Are you serious? And she went on Facebook and everything.
How long did it take you to respond to the question,
What do you reckon? Have you ever done anything for Sarah like this? Sarah ever said, could you change that or not do that? Or...
No, she's been pretty, good to live with, really, Sarah. She makes me sacrifice a big part of the bed. She's one of those sprawlers in the sack that, you know, just spreads her arms and legs out everywhere, so you end up on, you know, a little plank on the side.
Well, actually, I'm the same as that. I get about an inch. I'm hanging onto the side of my bed sometimes.
When I turn over,
just in it.
I have to flip a 180 just to land on the amount of bed that I've got. That's about all I get. But I don't have to give up too much. But
All right, Alice the Wags joining us. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning.
Anything you and Joel have you done for each other or, you know, asked to give up or sacrifice? What's happened?
I would never make Joel sacrifice anything.
Yeah.
But he made me sacrifice. So when I grew up, we would always have blocks of chocolate and like junk food in the house and you wouldn't always eat it, but it would just always be there.
Mm. And I reckon now Joel, you would have had a fair crack at it.
A little bit. But now Joel won't let it in the house.
What,
no chocolate
food
in the house?
No.
How do you cope with that?
Well, like if I buy it, I have to eat it and then hide the wrapper.
You hide wrappers?
I've been known to do that with a bag of Maltesers every now and then.
Is that why you order Uber Eats and all that when he's not around and stuff? Or
sometimes.
Roo, years ago when I was a single lad, I went out with this girl a couple of times and she was really nice. I really liked her. Mm. And I'd met her in town a couple of times and then it got to the point where our first sort
you
of
took her out to town.
Yeah.
From Port Adelaide.
In public, yeah. No, I didn't tell her I was from there. I lied about that.
Where were you from?
Beaumont.
Leabrook.
Yeah. Anyway, I've rolled up in my car, which I was very happy with. It was an HSV, a Holden HSV.
Oh, V8.
Bright red.
Yep. Yeah. Bright red.
Yep. 300 kilowatt, like this.
Oh, yeah, speed machine.
And
tough.
She just looked at me She goes, "Is that your car?" I said, "Yeah, I'm all happy and
pumped about it."
And she was a bit too prim and proper for it.
She what did she say?
"Sure, I don't think that car really suits you."
No! Oh,
I give a toss what you think, really.
She said your car doesn't suit you.
I think you should think about getting
a second date.
Yeah, so I think you should think about getting another car.
She should not have.
So I thought about getting another girlfriend.
I did. Yeah, well, if she had the courage to tell you what car you could drive on date two.
I was absolutely floored by this.
Yeah, that would have that wouldn't have been a good relationship.
So I had to put her in the draft.
You put her in the draft.
Yeah. So 133353, what have you given up? Or what has your missus asked you to give up?
Yeah.
I mean, we know this happens to a lot of blokes. Did you have to sell your favourite car, or did you have to... I mean, we know.
Or have
we
given something up?
We work with someone not too. We won't name this person, but has turned vegan.
Turned vegan for the partner.
Yes. This sort of thing.
That is a big sacrifice.
That's a big call, isn't it?
That is a very big sacrifice. I don't think you'll be doing that one either, Ditch. 133353, give us a buzz now. What have you given up for your partner, or what has she asked or he asked for you to give up? 133353, give us a buzz.
Oh, Prince Harry's broken ranks, Roo. He's let us all down. He's gone off the grog. He's been off it for 3 months. For little Megan.
Well, lucky I've done my share of breeding, and Sarah can't ask me to do that for the next one. Let's go to Fairview Park. G'day, Bob.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Very good, thanks, Bob. What has your wife asked you to do?
Well, it wasn't my wife. It's what I asked my wife to do.
Oh, okay.
We met at the old Lion New Year's, first time we ever met.
Yeah.
Started to go out with her, and I said, well, look, this is the rules. We're going out together. You're not smoking. And she never smoked ever since.
Wow. Bob, you told her to get off the dart.
And how did she cop that?
She took it all right. Yeah. Maybe it's my good looks.
did you have to give anything up, Bob, or did you just tell her to sacrifice everything?
No, just told her. That's it. Because I've never smoked in my life. And I said, well, I'm not going out with a smoker.
No. Does she ever sneak one in, do you think? Does she ever try behind your back?
Never.
No? All right.
Never.
Gee, Bob, you're a hard man.
Well, who's the boss?
Yeah.
Bob's the boss by the sounds of it. Yeah. Good on you, Bob. Hey, Ditz, we've got a great prize to give away here. We've got two tickets to a corporate suite, two tickets into the corporate suite for Def Leppard at the Entertainment Centre. So give us a call right now on 133353. The best caller is going to get two tickets into the corporate suite for Def Leppard at the Entertainment Centre. What has your partner made you give up?
Oh, who wears the pants? Prince Harry clearly doesn't, Roo.
Oh, well, maybe he's just a good fella, Ditz.
Yeah, might be. Sensitive new age guy. He's gone off the grog for his missus.
What have you been asked to give up? Let's go to Strathalbyn. G'day, Blake.
Yeah, g'day there, guys. My missus and I both play footy, and she said, look, I really want to make a red hot go of this and get as fit as possible. So she asked if we could both give up junk food, soft drink, and booze unless it's a special occasion.
Right.
Booze, unless it's a special occasion. Well, that makes a bit of sense. So,
how's it gone for you?
Oh, mate, I look fit as anything. Struggling, but yeah, looking good.
Yeah. Is she looking good?
Oh, she's always looked good.
Oh, what a guy. What a fella.
Have you had lots of special occasions? Have you redefined what a special occasion is lately?
That's right.
Well, she says anywhere we go out, for me, any day that we come home is a special occasion. So,
that's right.
Yeah. Hey, good on you, Blake, and good luck. That's a good
idea. Well done, Blake.
Well done with you and your partner. Let's go to Morford Vale. G'day, Jill.
Good morning.
G'day, Jill. What did you ask your partner to do?
He actually volunteered, but this is like 30 years ago. He sold his beloved Ducati motorbike so he could buy me an engagement ring.
Oh, a Ducati motorbike. I mean, they are a beautiful machine.
What's his name?
Well, I'm not with him anymore. So
right.
So he never got over the motorbike. And he also once, obviously got serious, but he had a tattoo and he had two earrings. And I used to smoke, and he said, well, you give up the smokes and I'll take the earrings out.
Right, so that was the deal. If you can give us his name and number, we'll give him the tickets because he sounds fantastic.
Because I knew my mum would cringe at a bloke with two earrings and a tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to judge blokes by what they look like. That's
sold
it,
the Ducati, Roo.
Big move. All right, Jill, thanks for your call. Let's go to Mawson Lakes. G'day, Justin.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going?
Good. What have you had to sacrifice?
The wife gave me the ultimatum. Had to give up the spirits when we went out. So,
did you lose it a little bit? Did you?
Oh, there's a couple of memory lost nights that kept creeping up.
Sometimes I find it's good to lose your memory, though. It can be helpful.
Till the next day.
When you start getting filled in the next day, what you've been up to, it's probably time to go.
Mate, you're not on your own. You just can't handle going from the switch from beer to spirits, Justin. There's a few of them around. Did the old eyes used to roll back a little bit and you turn into
That's been everything going on, I think, Mark. So.
All right. That's all right. You're not on your own there, Justin.
This is like being at confession, Justin. We've helped you out this morning.
I think we've all been there. Let's go to Balhanna, beautiful part of South Australia. G'day, Steve.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
You had to give up, Steve?
I gave up my home country.
Oh, where are you from?
England, originally.
What, you found your beautiful lady and she made you move to Australia?
Yeah, she went over to England for a holiday. We sort of met up and within 10 months we were married and I was over here.
Oh, and was it a good decision? You're still happy with that?
We celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary a couple months ago.
Oh, congratulations, good on you, Steve. Well done, mate. Good work. And you're living in a beautiful part of Adelaide as well. You love it up there?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good on you, Steve.
Which pub do you like up that way, Steve?
The Bridgewater, I generally go to.
You go to the Bridgewater? The Bridgie. Yeah, good outdoor area there. All goes all the way down to the creek. Yeah, good on you. Some nice pubs up that way.
Yep. Say good day to Ditz when you run into him up there soon.
I don't go to the pubs that much.
Oh, no, of course you don't. No. Let's go to Aberfoyle Park. G'day, Aiden.
How you going, fellas?
Good, Aiden. What have you given up?
I didn't give it up. My wife gave it up. I'm a diehard Port fan, and I made her give up her Sydney membership.
Well done.
Give up supporting a decent footy club that continually makes the finals year after year for a Port.
Yeah, well, you know, absolutely. Well, you got to go where your heart is.
So. I suppose you made her buy a Port membership as well, did you?
Absolutely.
Good on you, mate. And is she totally converted? Does she love it now?
She's still on that fence, but
what about when she's up on her feet singing "Never Tear Us Apart"? What about that?
Oh yeah, there is that. Well, I took her to China this year. We went to China to see Port play. So
that's going above and beyond. That's just fantastic.
You know, as
is that
you do.
Koshy on the line? Is it?
God, you're making her really earn her relationship. give up Sydney. Join up with Port. Take her to China. What are you going to ask her to do next?
Oh, that's all you can do.
He's done enough, Ruth.
I reckon if she's still with you, she is the most loyal person I've ever met.
There you go. Member of the year you are. He wins a prize. He wins a medal.
Triple M. Roll up your chinos, put wax in your hair, smash some avocado and grab a protein shake. It's time for the Metros on Ruin Dits for Breakfast.
The lads that work with us here in the office, we've got Josh, Nails and Howie. Good morning, boys.
Good morning, boys. Fellas.
Yeah, what's been happening, boys? Prince Harry's been sacrificing a bit of booze for Meghan, who's pregnant. He's decided to get off the booze for the pregnancy and making us all look a little bit sort of second class. Howie, you've got your partner pregnant at the moment. Are you sacrificing anything or is she sort of changed in any way? Or
I certainly hope she's not listening because I have not given up the booze, that's for sure.
Are you celebrating the pregnancy?
Oh, yeah, wet in the head early.
Good.
Yeah, she's been pretty good. She hasn't asked me to give up too much, just a little bit less of the circuit. It's pretty much
the late night circuit, you mean?
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. Yeah, that's gone forever, mate.
Yeah, that's pretty much gone. Yeah.
Have you found she's got a little bit more hungry?
Oh, mate, she has had a few episodes where she's been really hungry. You know that Snickers ad with Mr. Bean where he turns into a different person and then when he eats, that's my beautiful girlfriend.
Nails, what have you had to give up, mate?
Not a lot, really. I think the main one for me has just been food. So, yeah, Tor's got a lot of food allergies, which has been a bit of a nightmare. So,
right.
Gluten, garlic, onion, dairy, she can't eat. So I do a lot of the cooking at home and, yeah, it can get pretty difficult. And, yeah, we certainly don't get too exotic with the food these days. It's, meat and veg and that's about it. So, yeah, a bit frustrating, but yeah, that's the
worst
of it.
Are you the perfect partner, Nails, or not?
He's never done anything wrong in his life.
Oh, no, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, but yeah. No, I don't mind the cook. So.
No, you are super nice, Nails. We want you to harden up a bit. Live up to your name. We want you to be hard as nails. Come on. Righto, Josh?
Yeah, I'm at that stage where I'm in my life. I wouldn't give up anything just yet. I did have an ex-girlfriend a year or so ago that I did start, I decreased the amount of meat I ate, so...
What?
Yeah. So, but that's kind of stuck now as well, unfortunately. So, but I wouldn't give up. That was a bit of like my decision as well. So, I wouldn't give up.
You don't eat any meat or you see a little bit?
No meat.
None?
Nah, no meat at all.
So, you gave in?
I cracked.
Do you seriously feel any different?
I feel like the exact same, to be honest. Like, you say you get a bit tired, but I feel the exact same. Like, I don't know. I don't really. There's certain things I miss about it, but I think I'll eventually go back to it. But at this stage, no.
Well, Josh, take it from us. You look like you could beef up a bit. Seriously, you could do with a good feed, I reckon.
Josh, you got something else you want to tell us about? Something that's with your partner, or
well, it's a bit of a different story. So, we've got this group chat like between my family, and we all, for some reason, none of us like cats, like the animals, and.
Family?
Yeah, no one likes them and everyone's allergic to them. And it was funny, my sister sent us like a group message the other day. She's been staying at her partner's house and she gets in the door and the cat has pissed all over her clothes.
Oh, what? And is the younger sister or older
sister? She's older sister. And then dad replies saying, oh, we'll kick it outside and squirt the hose and I'll never come near you again. So, and that just makes me think when I, like my ex-partner, she had a cat and I hated it. But you just have to pretend to put up with it. So, thought it was quite relevant topic.
I think pets can be a deal breaker. I've got a mate who went out with a girl and he really, really liked the girl, but her two dogs kept sleeping on the bed and he called it a day. He said, I'm not sleeping with your two dogs. That was it.
I don't think I could sleep and do the business with dogs on the bed. Yeah.
I'm not talking about doing the business, Rowan. It's not all about that. I'm just talking about sleeping.
Jeez. It's part and parcel, isn't it?
Have you had trouble with the partner's pets, Howie?
No, my partner's not really into pets. She's more into babies. no, I actually
you didn't get stitched, Howie, did you?
No, I don't think so, at least. I remember when we first started dating, the family had a cat, and I honestly don't even think she knew its name, so that was when I knew she was into babies.
Nails?
Yeah, I'm with you, Joshy. I'm not into cats at all. But, yeah, the missus has a little dog. I'm a big fan of dogs, so that helps, but it literally sleeps in the bed. Mm-hmm. Head on the pillow sort of stuff. Yeah, and sort of leaves a whole lot of hair and stuff in the bed. So, if you didn't like dogs, it would be a bit of a tricky one. But
And it was her dog when you came into the relationship, wasn't
it? Yeah, so it's their family dog, so we don't...
No wonder she's got allergies. Bloody
yeah, God. I know, yeah. So we don't
Well, she's either allergic to the dog or you. You've got to work out
probably
which...
Probably me. Yeah. But, yeah, so... I'm lucky I like dogs, I guess, because, that a lot of people wouldn't stand for that. I wouldn't have thought.
You and Ditz sleeps with his dog as well, so...
But that's different. It's the only one who will sleep with me.
In the bed, Ditz, or...?
Yeah.
Billy watches.
Yeah. He's not watching too much, I'm gonna say. He's waiting for something to happen. We've had him 13 years. Anyway, let's wrap it up there, boys.
Rossdale Homes, with over 30 years of building experience. RossdaleHomes.com.au